Hey guys, it's Random Things with Anthony and Kayla. Today it's just gonna be me because Kayla's not feeling good today. So I'm very excited for this episode. I'm gonna be delving into my Filipino culture, which I'm very excited about. And if you couldn't tell, I also got a brand new microphone, which is really awesome. So we're going to start off with what is an aswan. Aswan? Aswan. I can't say it. An aswan is a shape-shifting cryptid. It is a combination of a vampire, a ghoul, a witch, and a werebeast. Aswans tend to lurk during the night, searching for their next victim. There are different forms of the aswan, the tick-tick and the walk-walk. They get their names from the sounds they make when they turn into large birds. Aswans normally eat the hearts and livers of unborn fetuses and young children. They use the proboscis to suck the meal out of a pregnant woman who is asleep. The walk-walk version leaves behind half of its torso when it transforms. Aswans can be killed with garlic, salt, holy water, a crucifix, a rosary, prayer, or decapitation. Aswans live as shy villagers, but at night they are hungry beasts. Aswans devour the hearts and livers of unborn children. They use their proboscis, which extends from their mouth to reach a mother's womb. They insert the proboscis into the mother's womb to suck out a meal while the mother is sleeping. Aswans cannot step into temples, churches, and or any other holy consecrated grounds. They also cannot enter a house or doorway that has a special prayer posted in the entrance.
Hi, this is Anthony and Michaela.
This is a free tool to record and create your own podcast.
You can record right from your phone or computer for free.
Your ad can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more.
You can talk about anything you wanted to at any time and post whenever you'd like. You can download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to that sponsor break. Now that I've told you what an aswan is, we're going to listen to a story by one of my favorite podcasters, Sapphire Sandalo.
Decades ago, a woman named Maria lived in Capiz, a province in the Bisayan region of the Philippines. She lived there with her husband, Jose, and their two children. Maria had just lost her job, and her husband couldn't support the family on his policeman's salary alone. So Maria made the decision to find work overseas and send money back home. It was a difficult decision to make, one that many Filipinos have made, but Jose assured her that it would be best for the family. We will talk every week, and he won't be gone forever, just until I get a higher paying job or until you can find work again. We can do this. And so Maria moved to Canada and found a job as a caregiver to an eccentric and very wealthy elderly man named Harry. Maria had been a caregiver to many people before, but this man was definitely interesting. He requested that after sundown, Maria lock his bedroom and not enter until the sun rises the next morning. He handed her a set of keys, one key for each of the six locks on the door. Maria thought his need for privacy was a bit excessive. But what if you need me in the middle of the night? I won't. Are you some sort of vampire? Come now, Maria. Vampires aren't real. After the old man had been locked away, Maria called her family. Because international phone calls were very expensive, Maria limited herself to one conversation with her family per week. She told Jose about the old man's strange request. "It worries me. What if something happens to him while he's locked up and I can't get in?
Maybe he's just a light sleeper and doesn't like being disturbed."
"What do you think the police will do if they see that he died in a room that I sealed? They will arrest me. I don't know if this is a good idea."
"You'll be fine. He's paying almost 3 times what others would. We need this, Maria."
So, Maria carried on. She assisted Harry in the bathroom, she prepared his meals and medication, and even played card games with him. And although he was very old and frail, his mind was bright and alert. Harry told Maria stories about his 3 kids. One was a doctor, another a lawyer, and one a teacher. When he spoke of them, his face lit up, as only a proud father would. "How often do you see them?" "Oh, my, I don't even think I can recall the last time I saw them in person." "They do not visit you?" "That's terrible," Maria exclaimed, a heaviness forming in her chest. But Harry seemed completely unbothered. They have their own lives. That night, when Maria called her husband, she told him about what Harry said, about not having seen his kids in years. "I've only been away from you and the kids for a few months. I can't imagine what not seeing you for years would feel like." He acted like it was normal. "I feel so sorry for him."
"You don't know what their relationship is like. I'm sure there is pain that he's not showing you."
It was rather curious. Why hadn't his children visited him in so long? Perhaps they had a falling out of some kind? But what kind of fight would lead to abandoning your elderly father forever? Harry seemed like such a kind and gentle man. A little weird, sure, but he was agreeable. She wondered, what if it had something to do with him locking himself up at night? Maria's curiosity was piqued. She had to know. That night, Maria helped Harry into bed like every other night. But when she closed the door, she didn't fully close all the locks. She waited a few hours to make sure he was asleep, before carefully removing the locks one by one. She took a deep breath. She slowly turned the doorknob and gently pushed the door open inch by inch. The light from the hallway seeped into the room, piercing the darkness. The light fell upon the bed. The empty bed. Harry was gone. Maria reflexively turned the bedroom light on. Harry wasn't in his bed. She began to panic. She felt around the covers, under the bed. That's when she heard a soft breath coming from behind her. She carefully turned around. Standing in front of her was a 6-foot, slimy-skinned humanoid creature. It towered over her, its hot breath falling onto her face. The creature lifted an arm and motioned with its long, bony finger for Maria to come closer. Unsure if following its orders was better than not following it, Maria settled on the former. Step by step, she moved closer to the being. It unhinged its jaw and opened wide. Back in Capiz, Jose was on his way home from a long shift. When he opened the door, he was confused as to why the door was already unlocked. A delicious aroma hit his nose from the kitchen. He followed the smell to find Maria, cooking dinner. He was so happy to see her, he rushed over to embrace her. He was surprised by how much bonier she felt in his arms. She excitedly told him that dinner was almost ready and motioned for him to take a seat at the table. Jose took a seat and stared at the woman at the stove. "Is everything okay, dear? I'm just tired and hungry from my trip." She pulled a large tray out of the oven and hastily placed it on the table. "Let's eat." Maria sat down and began shoveling food onto her plate. Jose called out for the kids to come join them, but there was no response. He turned to Maria and asked her where the kids were. Her mouth was so full of meat that it muffled her response. What did you say, dear?" Maria swallowed and raised the bone she was holding and gestured to the tray. "They're right here." Jose froze. Maria said nothing.
Jose pulled out his bolo knife and slashed Maria's face, leaving a long gash from her brow to her cheek. She shrieked in pain, "Get out of here and never come back, you monster." Maria ran out the door. It is said that Maria still roams the town of Capiz at night. So beware of any women with a slash across your face. You might become her next meal.